This episode of TMS brought to you by Squarespace.com. Make the website you've always wanted to, with all the right tools, templates, and more. Have it look great on mobile. Have your friends wish they had a site like yours. Go to Squarespace.com right now and try the trial. If you like what you see, and we know you will, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off your account. That's Squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. Coming up on TMS. Well, yesterday's show, shit, let's start that over. Coming up on TMS, well, yesterday sure took a turn.
Scott might be a racist.
Brian has t-shirt stories.
Soy sauce to treat HIV.
If you're going to rob the place, make sure you get gas while you're there.
Another Flintstones movie in the works.
Oh, I can't wait. Spider-Man 2 is making people mad.
Oh, no. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Freshness itself. That's Carnation fresh milk at its best in nourishment. Straight from the dairy, Carnation fresh milk is fresh today and every day. Rush to your door and to your store. Have a glass of freshness itself. Drink Carnation fresh milk with vitamin D added. The milk children love the flavor of in the red and white carton.
Murder at midnight.
This is The Morning Stream. Hail Hydra!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's The Morning Stream for Thursday, May 8th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ivett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Good morning. How was your day?
Well, I had a very uninteresting day yesterday. I mean, you know, show ended. I did some work. It's only like that. I'm guessing the same thing for you, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
real average Wednesday. Went and took a poop and. No, it didn't go that way. So I'll quickly fill everybody in on how things went Wednesday and how actually today. It's almost a miracle we're having a show, but everything worked out mostly mm-hmm. because of the. Johnson family teamwork. Ba-da-da-da! Yes. So here's what happened yesterday. At the same time we were doing the show, about the time I would guess Nicole's on here talking about Willem Dafoe,
right?
And deciding whether his first name is William or Willem.
William or
That's Cheeto. Exactly Don Cheeto. While we're talking about that stuff, Nick had apparently stayed home. I didn't know this, but he had stayed home from school. And Kim had sort of dealt with that, and he wasn't feeling well. She's like, all right, no problem. Just stay in bed. I'm going to go to the gym with her aunt, with Sarah. So they went to the gym. And now, while the show's still going, Nick apparently has tried to get in the shower to feel better and gets out of the shower halfway through the shower, kind of sort of all half wet, mm-hmm. doubled over in pain, and calls his mom again. Nobody's bothering to come get me, I noticed yesterday. They're not coming to let me know that there's dire things afoot. But he calls his mom and says, yeah, there's something's wrong, Mom. I don't know what it is, but something's worse here. And she's like, ew, he never does that, so there must really be something wrong. So she left her aerobic deal like 20 minutes in, came home, and he's kind of just doubled over, really, really hurting. So she says, all right, I'll take him to the Instacare, we call it. The Instacare!
Instacare, okay.
Yeah, that's what they're called here. They're like a little, what do you call them? Like a day-night clinic kind
urgent, of? Urgent care is what there they are go. Here, yeah.
Yeah. That's so much more cool-sounding, urgent yeah. care. But yeah. Instacare?
That sounds like, you know, it should be a machine operated by Dr. Bashir or something.
Right, like that. Or the thing I get out of the freezer and put in the microwave. It's a stupid, stupid name. Anyway, he goes to the Instacare, and they give him some instant care. And that care involved them poking around a little bit and going, oh, we think he's got an appendicitis. He's got all the right pain locations, all the right sort of preliminary guesswork all points to that. So
it's basically press on the stomach, ow, okay, probably yeah, appendicitis.
Basically. I guess there's the thing, though, where you can push in that area. It's like lower right quadrant, right? Mm-hmm. You can push and then let go, and it will... If it hurts more coming up than it did going down,
oh, okay.
That's like a sure sign.
Oh, wow.
So right. That's what he said anyway. So I'm still down here just going, leap-a-deep-a-deer, you know, doing my show, talking to you. Life is good. Everything's great.
No idea what's going on.
No idea. Yeah. She didn't even come tell me because she didn't want to, you know, she thought, well, if it's not that big a deal, if he just has gas or something, I want to go get a, you know, maybe a prescription or get some gas X or something, just deal with it. So she calls me after, right after the show ended, she calls me and goes, hey, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm about to get on my conference call and getting ready to go into town for that photo shoot, blah, blah, blah. She goes, okay, well, that sounds great. We're headed to Primary Children's Hospital, and this is all coming out of nowhere, right?
It's all matter of fact. Yeah. Okay, well, here's what we're doing.
She does this because when my daughter was 7, she almost broke her neck in a snowmobiling thing accident deal that happened, and I wasn't there for it. It was her and some friends, and all their kids went up. These women and the kids all went up to the thing up in the canyon, and they all went sliding on inner tubes and all this stuff. And Carter almost broke her neck. It was real bad. But when she called to tell me we're on a life flight helicopter on our way down to the hospital in the valley, I lost my crap. I was mad and angry and scared and just all the emotions you have as a dad, right?
Yeah.
So she remembered that and thought today.
Oh, I don't know what I would do if I heard that.
Oh, it was horrifying. It was. Oh. And then when I walked in that place and saw her, I walked into this room. She's 7 years old. And this Carter, sweetest kid, right?
Yeah.
Big heart, all that. She's always been that way. She's laying in that thing. She's got her head strapped to a board. Her whole body strapped. And I remember walking in that room being shocked by the visual of it and then her going, Daddy, I'm scared. And I just about lost it, man. I was angry at nobody. That was the thing because it was just an accident. But I was so angry. Anyway, she remembered that. So yesterday was all about let's soften Scott up and make it no big deal. So she says, because I, you know, when my kids are in peril, I freak out. So she says, we're just heading up there. He's got bad stomach pain. We think it might be appendicitis. And I'm like, well, you didn't have to like ask me how I was doing and what am I up to?
you could just jump right in.
Just jump right in.
Bury the lead. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Give me the headline. I don't want to read 4 chapters in to find out that Dumbledore's the father of the 4 kids or whatever.
Ooh, spoiler.
No, there's no, it's a fake spoiler. There's nothing going on there.
You shouldn't have said that. It would have been really fun.
Yeah, it would have been. did you see that Pat Oswalt thing over there? That reminds me. He's on Twitter, right? And he's sometimes will just troll his fans. It's funny kind of to watch.
Yeah.
He did this whole thing where he tweeted fake apologies for tweets that he didn't actually tweet that he claimed he removed and still stirred up all kinds of people freaking out. So he would do a thing like, oh, you guys, I'm so sorry I removed that last tweet. I absolutely love what the Obamas have done with something, something, this and that.
Complete. So it would still be referencing something.
Yes, okay. Vaguely, though. It would have to be, yes. Very vaguely. And then just streams of people flaming out, unfollowing, as if he had really done it. It was fan-freaking-tastic to watch. He did that for like a whole night, and people just hook, line, and sinker all night. Anyway, there's all that. So he goes into the hospital. Mm-hmm. They do some tests. First of all, they kept him waiting forever, like an hour and a half. Because there's so many kids yesterday. I guess the place was packed. But they said, yeah, the ultrasound's back. He's definitely got appendicitis. We're gonna operate on him. But they didn't actually do surgery until about 4:30 in the afternoon. So I had long gone up there. I've been up there most of the day. Yeah. And we're just hanging out, chilling. You know, he's a lot like me. He's more about the dread than he is the reality. So
yes, sure.
The waiting game was just killing him. He couldn't stand just sitting there waiting and being in pain like that. And they brought him like a stuffed animal, you know, all this kind of stuff. Just and I'm like, yeah, you know, he is 14 in 2 weeks. I think he's probably outgrown some of this stuff. But on the other hand, it was kind of nice because, you know, whatever. Let the kid be a kid. Long and the short of it, they got him in finally. He was dreading it, but you know, we were all there for him. Got it done. Textbook case of what you want to be going on when you have appendicitis. So no perforation, no bursting.
None of that. That was the first thing I asked you was, oh my God, tell me it didn't burst.
Yeah. Cause that stuff can poison you and really,
cause it seems so sudden, right?
I mean, And it's an infection is what it is. And when you blow that thing apart, you become septic. It just, you know. I don't know. People die. This is what you did. 1800s, dude. You get an appendicitis, you pretty much die. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. So That's what, you know, population control through appendicitis is what we used to call that. Now he's, you know, he's in good care, and they took, it was simple, quick, in and out. He's in tons of pain right now just because, you know, it's surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Going through your belly button, and then there's like two other holes. I mean, when I was a kid and I had mine out, they did like a big old like cleaver slash, just up the side of your guts, and you were like out for 2 weeks. And
that's all laparoscopic.
Yeah. And he'll be crazy. He'll be, you know, up and at him by Monday, I'm sure. So anyway, he's on his way home probably in the next hour or two. Kim stayed overnight. That was the teamwork bit. So I was like, all right, I'll stay with him. You can go home and get some rest, because she'd been there all day, still in her gym clothes, you know, just all day hanging out with Nick. Mm-hmm. And I said, you go home. I got this. She goes, no, I'm staying here. You have a show to do. So I want people on TMS to understand, my wife's first thought was, here's how we're going to split the teamwork. I will stay here with Nick and sleep at the hospital on this crappy couch. You go home and feed the people what they desire. And
make sure that there is a TMS tomorrow. Morning. The TMS must flow.
Yes. Entertainment must not stop. So she said that, and
she's
did that.
She's our biggest Patreon supporter.
She really is. She really is. We have to perform an entire game show in front of her now, just to satisfy her. But anyway, she's everything's good. She's good up there, and everyone's happy. Nick will be home soon. He's eating. He never barfed, not even post op. He's peeing like you're supposed to. Like all this stuff you have to do before they let you go. Everything's great. I mean, he's a healthy kid. He's a strong, healthy, normal kid. He just had an appendix go. So there you go. Thank you. But the main thing is, thanks everybody out there who was so nice all day yesterday. Just lots of tweets and support emails and just nice things being said on Facebook and whatever. And that's always heartening. So big thanks from the little Johnson family to the extended Johnson family. you have our family's thanks. All right. But I also might be a racist.
This is what I want to hear. Okay.
I know you've been waiting for this. So we are at the hospital, and it's about 5, and he is in surgery, or they're prepping him, and we're not with him anymore. He's in, you know, he's off in the OR area thing. So mm-hmm. they said, why don't you go, you guys go get something to eat, you know, get yourself something there. Cause Kim hadn't eaten all day. I hadn't really either. So we're like, okay, we'll go to the cafeteria. They have a nice one there in the hospital. We'll go down the floor, go to the cafeteria. And I walk in there, Brian, and I don't notice this is happening. My daughter's the one that tells me I'm doing it. But I walk in, and it is probably, there's a bunch of people in there. It's probably 65%, maybe 70% Hispanic folks are in there.
Okay.
Okay. A couple of white, you know, losers like me, but mostly Hispanic folk. And I'm in there, and I don't notice that I'm doing it. I don't even know where it came from, but I start doing this under my breath with a kind of a fake trumpet sound. I start going, Now, I start singing under my breath, kind of a Mexican hat dance.
Yes.
Not knowing I'm doing it, but I'm in a room clearly where there is a predominance of Hispanic people.
Hispanic presence, yes.
Am I a racist? Because I did that. Because my daughter hits me in the elbow and goes, Dad, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I said, what? I said, what? She goes, that song you're humming. I go, what? And I couldn't even, what's I didn't even know that? What she was talking about. And then I suddenly hear myself going, and I couldn't stop doing it. But it was like mariachi band in my head.
Yes.
So I think I might be
well,
a racist.
Well, you did have that whole Cinco de Mayo thing just a few days ago with Kim playing the mariachi music while you guys ate.
You think I can get away with that as an excuse? I hope so.
I don't think so, no.
No? All right. I might be racist, or at the very least, I'm... See, a racist implies some sort of hate and intolerance.
Yes, exactly.
I don't feel that way. I'm super stoked about the grand musical traditions.
If you walked into a room full of Asians and you... Isn't that kind of the same thing?
Oh, my gosh. That's funny as heck, though. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, it wouldn't have been... I can't even imagine myself doing that, though. That's what's funny.
See, yeah. That's...
Oh, my gosh. All right, yeah. It's. I mean, look, nobody heard it. It was all like... It was really that quiet.
Mm.
And my wife's just shaking her head. She's like, what are you doing? So, anyway, that's how that went. Okay, I've been dying all day because you had this thing yesterday we didn't talk about.
Well, it's certainly not going to be... I put this in yesterday before all this other stuff happened. This is going to be such the... such the disappointment after all this
other
stuff.
It's like a little after dinner mint. I think it sounds fine. What do you got?
Well, for a long time, Tina's been complaining about the number of the amount of clothes in my closet. Mm. We share a closet, and I probably do take up as much, if not more, than she does. Mm-hmm. She's got two levels. I've got one, but I think my level is twice the length of sure, go ahead, Iceworm. Edit that however much you want.
Yeah, whatever you want. This is all sounding very familiar, by the way, so far, this conversation. Really? Okay. Oh, yeah.
And she harps on me that, you know, anytime she's doing, hey, I'm doing a big donation for Goodwill this week, put out any T-shirts or anything you want. I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. Nope, I'm really happy with what I've got right now. I don't feel the need to get rid of any of it.
Yeah.
So this came up while we were around my aunt and uncle, yeah, this last weekend to see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, all right, how many T-shirts do you think you have? And I'm like, well, I've got a bunch of other shirts in there and some, you know, like long sleeve shirts, things like that. I said, yeah, probably about 50 T-shirts. She said, you have way more. I think you have way more than 50 T-shirts. How about we make a deal? 50 is a reasonable number to have. Any more than 50 that you have to get rid of. And if you have less than 50, then I think she was just saying, you know, you can start getting rid of my stuff or something like that.
Okay.
So, like, all right, okay, fine. So the next day, the very next day, she goes in and counts my T-shirts. Okay. And these are things like, you know, these are ones I've gotten from Jinx and from ThinkGeek and mm-hmm. collected over the years, getting a bunch from listeners.
Sure.
Of course, there's some Coverville T-shirts in there.
That great Coke one. I love that red one.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
So good.
She comes out and says, so Brian, would you like to guess how many T-shirts you have? And Scott, I'll let you guess as well.
Okay.
How many T-shirts do you think I had in my closet?
Having recently gone through this and having, I mean, my wife did the ultimate, which was argue about it for years and then just did it one day. And I went in there and suddenly I had like a third of the shirts I used to have. and she was right. I didn't need them. And you know what? I'm not found myself wanting for shirts at all, but I totally know where you're at. I feel the pain. So here's my guess. Mine's mostly Blizzard shirts at this point, but
sure,
there's
course.
So many given to us. Okay, I'm going to guess you had 85 shirts.
A little higher than that.
Oh, my gosh.
War Crusher was really close with his guess of 97. I had 96 T-shirts.
That is a lot of T-shirts. I thought that was an overstatement to say 80-something.
Yeah. No, so almost twice as many as I thought I had. Like, yeah, 50. Come on. How can I have more than 50? But
oh, my gosh. So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to go through. I've got to get rid of 46 of them.
Okay. I love it, dude. That's great. Let us know how that goes. Document it. Yeah.
Will do.
Tell us why you kept one and didn't keep another. What was it that, what in the decision process made you not a hoarder anymore or a shirt hoarder? God.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I mean, it's really going to be, you know, I've got a totally rad show shirt.
Oh, wow.
I think I got as part of a, I think that was part of a Think Geek 5-pack or a Jinx 5-pack or something where for $14.99 they would send you 5 random shirts mm-hmm. from there. And I think I got a really cool Nomergun T-shirt mm-hmm. out of that, and a really cool Mortal Kombat T-shirt. But then I also got stuff like Totally Rad Show years after Totally Rad Show had ended.
Their show had totally gone. It's,
exactly,
no
they were
way.
Basically cleaning out their closet as well. Mm. And
yeah, I see.
Passing along.
That's actually a good way for them to do that. And we'll be doing that for Blizzard again. We'll be getting Warcraft 3 shirts, I'm sure, this year.
I might be getting rid of like a What's in Your Sack or I Love My Sack or whatever, the one we got a couple years ago from Blizzard.
Right. Yeah, I really like that one.
Some Blizzard t-shirts. So I'm going to be, so basically there are probably going to be some homeless people running around Denver with some really, really cool t-shirts.
Some rad shirts on. That's great, dude. Good job. It's good to clean out once in a while, you know?
You know?
I was pissed.
Says, cover Bill's old shirt. Smell the man, live the dream. Next week's giveaway on TMS.
There you go. That's the one.
It did not escape me as a thought to do like a an auction for charity. Yeah, Poison Elf says the same thing.
Yeah.
Like an auction for charity or I don't think people want my... I mean, obviously I would wash them before I sent them, but I still don't think people would want my hand-me-downs.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think people might... You might be surprised. How many
if somebody wants
are,
to make a quilt out of these.
People are into it. Oh, a quilt would be rad. A
quilt would be awesome.
Oh, I should have had Kim do that with mine before she took him to the DI.
Oh, there you go. See?
Do we have the thing? I think it's like Goodwill is called the DI, or short for Deseret Industries. It's the same thing. It's like a, you know.
Like a Goodwill.
Yeah, and they have like a lot of charity stuff they do there and anything. And that's where all my stuff went. So there are video game shirts somewhere in the wild out here that that I really didn't want to get rid of. But you know what? She was right. And the reason that we did the big clean out that she did, and this included pants, long sleeve stuff, all kinds of things, shorts, because I lost 45 freaking pounds. And she's like, you don't want to go back to that, right? You don't want to wear 40s again. And I said, well, I guess I don't. And she says, well, okay, well, I got rid of all the 40s and we'll get you a couple of new 34s and you'll stay slim and you won't have to worry about it. And I said, oh, well, she kind of has a point. So once again, Kim has a point. All right.
You're not going to gain the weight back just so you can wear that shirt again.
No, I mean, I hope not. I would hope I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to do that. All right, we're going to call Daryl. I do want to do that.
Oh, Cleo might be offering to make a quilt.
Oh my gosh.
That would be stellar.
Yeah, I wish I could throw some in for the mix, but now they're all gone.
Let's talk Cleo, because that'd be
that seems cool.
That would be really cool.
Of ideas I've heard today, that is one of them. It's time for this. It's a little something we call Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
DTNS, which sounds too much like TMS now that I say it out loud. The Daily Tech News Show, starring Tom Merritt at dailytechnewsshow.com. Hop on over there today and see how tech coverage should be.
Yeah, I agree, man.
The heck By the way,
yeah,
Tom Merritt and Nicole Spagnolo and Mark Spagnolo and I are all going to BlizzCon. I got four tickets last night in the great BlizzCon business last night, and
nice job, you were lucky. A lot of people didn't get those.
I was the one of the exactly the four of us, or actually three, because Mark Spagnuolo really just sits back and lets Nicole do all the work.
Yeah.
I got us the four tickets for the show. So
nice.
This year they're all going to be Brian Ibbett for a change.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's cool. They, I love that idea. More Ibbetts, the better. And expensive tickets this year. They went up $25.
They did, yes.
So the original BlizzCon price was $100. That was in
for the first one?
First few, I want to say. And then at one point it went up to $125 and then back to $100.
Okay.
And then $150, $175, and then $200. It's gone up ever since. Every year.
Every year. Yeah. I know. That's crazy.
Or I guess every
Well, I'm expecting $25 more worth of swag and goodies in the goodie bag this year.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get that. I'm 100% sure of it. Actually, I'm pretty sure you won't. Well, because last year it went up and the bag was less cool.
Yeah. The bag was so lame. The first year I finally get to go to BlizzCon and it's like the crummiest bag ever.
It was pretty crappy. But I don't even have tickets yet because, you know, I have that thing where I just wait for someone at Blizzard to say, yep, all the press sites are getting tickets or not. So those order days kind of come and go and I kind of just go, oh, okay. Please let there be ticket. I already have hotel. I have hotel.
Oh, you've got your hotel booked already?
Yeah, we did that like the day they announced the dates. So,
we're gonna be
in the Hilton this time, which is super exciting.
It's where all the stuff is.
It's where it all happens, closest. Man.
Yeah, right.
Even if Blizzard said nope, no tickets this year for press, I'd still go because why not? You know?
Oh God, for sure. Yeah, I mean there's so much going on in the guild room and all that stuff.
I mean, if that's all there was, I'd be happy even then.
No, no argument at all.
I don't think I'm going to have a problem.
Hey, we should talk to Daryl. I bet he's
oh, yeah, we're doing Daryl time. That's right. Daryl time,
Sorry.
Everybody.
I got us veered off into that other direction.
Stump the Daryl Trek Nerd. Hi, Daryl. What's going on?
Hello.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Don't get an appendicitis. I recommend against it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
have you? Did you have one when you were younger? Or is
doctors recommend against.
Yeah, I don't think it's a thing you want. From my experience, yesterday, or my experience when I was 16 when I got mine, neither one was very fun.
I still have mine.
Do you still? Will you?
If it's there, maybe I'm a mutant and I never had one.
I think. I mean, it's funny because there were a lot of wives' tales growing up about what that thing actually did for him, and there was talk that it was like, oh, that's the catch-all for hair you ate, or
the hairball catcher.
Yeah, or you bite your nails and all the little refuse from your nail biting. I mean, I bit my nails when I was a kid, but I never ate the nails, so I always thought that was kind of weird. But they say that stuff all goes there because it used to be this trap when sort of prehistoric man needed to process things that were like really coarse, like certain kind of meats or the hair off the back of the meat that you're eating because you didn't know how to prepare it or whatever. So you had always like these really hard things to process, and that thing did some work with that. But now we just don't need it at all. So I just feel like if there was a way when they're born, just beam it right out of the kid and be done with it, because who cares, you know? It's annoying.
Yeah, it's like a lint filter that you can't change.
Yeah, and it has this one weakness, which is if it gets infected and explodes, you'll die.
Mm.
You just freaking die. That's what happened. The 1800s, the guy would be sitting in the doing the fields going, oh, look, I got a little grumpy pain today. I'm going to go lay down for a half an hour. 2 days later, dead. That's it. Old Bill. Hear about old Bill? Yep. Died out in the field from a freaking, and they probably didn't even know what it was. So they probably called it the, what would they call it? I love the old like cowboy names for diseases. Like old Bill suffered from skies burn or something.
Kind of like the vapors. Like the equivalent of like the vapors.
The vapors or when people complain about their bursitis, I guess, which isn't actually a thing. But I love that old stuff. We need more of that. See, medical science is awesome in one way where we have like new cures for things. But then it takes away all that mystery. And sometimes the mystery was kind of cool because you didn't get so obsessive about the details. So you just die. You say, oh, what happened to Frank? Oh, I died of the consumption.
Consumption, right.
That's great. That's way better than saying he had a horrible battle with lung cancer. You know what I mean? Like, that seems so much sadder for some reason than the cowboy who died of consumption. Anyway, Daryl, good to have you on. Let's get to your Trek question here. The original series is where we're going to put our time today. And it's for the episode Obsession. Also, isn't that a perfume? Oh. It's perfume, right?
Obsession.
Obsession.
Obsession. Obsession.
The Enterprise. I remember they whispered a lot in those commercials.
They did in all those perfume commercials of the 80s and 90s.
Yep. It was that or the Cowboy Secrets. Stetson one. There was the two types.
Oh, yeah.
Two types. It was a guy on a horse with a chick waiting for him, or it was whispering.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend who was big into me wearing Stetson.
Really?
I still even have the bottle probably somewhere.
For us, it was Drakkar Noir.
Oh, yeah, right.
We were really into that. All right. In the original series episode Obsession, the Enterprise encounters the Vampire Cloud Thing. The Vampire Cloud Thing kills many crewmen of Kirk's former ship, the Farragut. The captain of the ship was also killed. What was the name of the captain of the Farragut? Was it A, Captain Fox, B, Captain Garovic? Was it C, Captain Finney, or D, Captain Wesley? Wesley! All right, so those are your options. I want you to think about those real hard. I get the menstrual cramps real hard.
That was coming.
And here's this.
Are you hungry?
Oh.
Aren't you hungry?
Well, that's a foodie.
Well, the second one didn't play right. All right, we're going to eat our last piece of Finnish cuisine here. It
we're
is the
finish it.
Marianne, or what's you have the bag? What is it?
These are Marianne chocolate mint chocolate mint filled candies.
All right, chocolate mint filled.
Mm-hmm. These look like something you'd give out at a barber shop.
Chocolate filled mint candies. There is a difference between those.
They're very barber shoppy. Chat room, do you see that? Yeah, rotate that slowly and tell old stories while I cut my hair. So let's pull that out.
Hold on.
Oh, there's no jokes inside of the wrapper? That's too bad.
Aw.
Sorry, Finland. Missed opportunity, man. All right,
whoa,
here we go.
It's shiny like a pearl. It's like it came out of an oyster.
This looks more like it came out of my grandmother's pocket.
Totally. You'd find a bunch of these unwrapped, all stuck together in a frilly glass bowl on my grandmother's pocket.
Yep. I
love
that.
They were all licked and placed together so that they stuck into one big ball.
Brian, they were the greatest generation. Let's not forget. But they're weird
they
candy.
They were, yes.
Yeah. It's just totally, I'm having major deja vu with this. This is like going back to grandma's house when I was 6 or 7 years old. Can we have a candy? If you'll go pick some weeds out of my yard, she'd say. She'd always make us work for the treats that we did at my grandma's. Always. Now that I think about that, that's kind of lame for a grandparent. When I'm a grandpa, you kids are never going to work for me. My grandkids are going to come over here, and it is going to be a party every freaking day. There's going to be video games to play. Kim's going to make food to eat. We're going to spoil them silly. My kids, a.k.a. their parents, are going to be pissed. Because we're not going to have any discipline. That's how it works, man. Grandparents are supposed to do that.
Yep.
It's not my job to teach you discipline and hard work. That was my job for the parents.
They are the anarchists of the family.
That's right. I'm going to be a complete and utter just good time, like the essence of good times is what I'll be. And they're going to beg to come here all the time, and they're never going to want to leave. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. Daryl?
Oh, if you bite these, there's goo inside.
Yeah, there's goo in there. There's chocolate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, chocolate goo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, now I have to see what it looks like. It can't be all shiny and white.
Nope.
Oh, it's black.
Black.
I guess that's
dark brown.
What chocolate is.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I didn't have to do that because there's a picture on the front of the bag that shows what it looks like.
Oh, you have all the luck.
Well, in this case, yes, I guess I do.
All right, well.
Oh, my.
That's Scott Fletcher. Jeez, I don't know why that played. Let's get to your the part of this, Daryl, where we do what? What are we doing? Oh, we're going to do the birthday. Who has a birthday?
Well, that would be Garth Bill. Yeah, I can't even say it. That's an easy thing to say. Garth Pillsbury, you know, like the guy who poked his stomach.
And, yeah. I always felt uncomfortable about that, but anyway, yeah.
He's 76 today. He played Wilson on the original series. He wished he was Chekhov's guard in Mirror, Mirror.
Mm.
And then the real guy became a photographer for Playboy.
Whoa! Oh. Nice job, man.
Oh, there you go.
I still have.
I've lived a full life.
I need to pull that out. Somewhere I have in a drawer a rejection letter from the Playboy editorial department because I used to, when I was just out of high school, I was submitting comic strips all over the place. Psychology Today, like all these magazines. I was trying to get a comic published somewhere, right? Newspapers and stuff. And I still have a rejection letter from Playboy, a prized piece of paper that I own because I just think it's cool. My mom hated that I sent it there. Like, Mom.
It's funny when you do a search for him on in Google Images, you find pictures of him. I think like he must have been in the Big Valley or something like that because a lot of pictures of him in a cowboy hat on some TV show.
Mm.
A couple pictures of him on Star Trek, and a couple pictures of naked ladies that he's taken pictures of.
Well, great. Well, good luck to him. What was his name? Pillsbury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That's great.
He's in a lot of Russ Meyer movies, too.
What are Russ? I can't think of who Russ Meyer is.
Like Beyond the Valley of the Ultra Vixens and...
Oh.
And just playing Vixen.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Now I know those movies. He's in a lot of those. Well, good
Big
for him.
Big booby girl movies, yes.
All right. I like.
Well, that's what Russ Meyer was into.
Good job, Russ Meyer. He'll never be forgotten. All right. Daryl, even though I didn't know who he was in the first place. Daryl, let's get back to
somewhere we should definitely watch our film sack.
Yeah, the wiener. Yeah, we haven't seen any Russ Meyer movies.
We should see a Russ Meyer movie on film sack just to see.
Okay, I'm in.
Because I've never seen one either.
I'm trying to think of a... I guess we could search Netflix and find his name on IMDb and find him. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See if anything's streaming and let you guys all know.
We're equal opportunity offenders. Daryl, let's get to your question here. Or back to your question. Captain Fox, Captain Garavik, Captain Finney, Captain Wesley. Which one of these was the captain killed by the vampire cloud?
Well, let's see. And the last one is Wesley. That was the captain on the one of the ships that fought in the M5 computer war games, I think.
Oh.
Finney was the captain that they thought Kirk killed on the, what is that episode? The court-martial. Yeah, court-martial.
Wow.
So it's not that guy.
I'm impressed so far with your deliberations here. This is like mini trivia within trivia here. This is great. This is good.
And Fox is Michael J. So...
So clearly, that
way to,
can't
way
be
to
it.
Isolate
all that stuff I said before. I take it back. That's weird deliberation.
So Garavik would be the one.
Garavik.
And it was his son.
Whose
his son?
Son.
That's Garavik's son, or Captain Garavik's son, is the one on this episode that ends up putting his hands over the vent to keep smoke out.
Oh.
And obviously, it doesn't work.
No, I knew that, and I haven't even seen the episode. And I wouldn't put my hand over something to keep smoke out. So that guy's dumb. All right, here we go. Let's check it out. Is it Captain Garavik?
Congratulations!
Wow.
You're a winner!
That's what we call a perfect week, everybody. Captain Garavik was killed by the vampire cloud, and Kirk has felt guilty about this ever since. He does anything in his power to destroy, or as he wrote, destroy the vampire cloud. McCoy says Kirk is unfit for command. Here's a clip of all that going down.
The malevolence, it's evil, must be destroyed.
He's so obsessed.
Obsessed?
That you could destroy yourself.
Your career. A young boy who reminds you of yourself 11 years ago.
Don't push our friendship past the point where I have to take
I'm
a fish.
I'm not your
professional, Captain. I am preparing a medical log entry on my estimation of the physical and emotional condition of a starship captain.
Wow. I don't think he edited that at all.
I like how the music goes.
It was pretty good. Nicely done. Captain Garavik is the correct answer, and you win a prize. What's your prize today? Nothing. It's just you and me and Brian doing what we do. Happy goes for us. All right. Mm-hmm. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek's own Daryl Scales, and he's on the Grumpy Cast.
And your perfect week entitles somebody to get give a charity payment.
Oh, yeah.
Remember oh, right.
Get you. Yeah.
That's right. I forgot that was happening. Is that is still happening? That's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is. All right.
He said he was going to do it for the whole year, I thought.
Time
to 52 weeks.
Good. Time to play a game Daryl will tell us the name of. Go for it, Daryl.
It's in Daryl. I fought the vampire cloud. Anyway, Star Trek disease or actual disease.
Okay, here's your theme. That was intense.
That ended poorly.
It ended very poorly.
How are we going to end this piece of music? I don't know.
Put a truck in there. All right, so go for it. Disease or actual Star Trek thing? Disease or whatever.
Brugada.
Brugada. I ordered that after the free breadsticks and salad.
Brugada. It's the name of a casino in Vegas, too. No, actually, it's in Atlantic City, the
is
Brugada.
It? Really?
Yeah.
That's a real thing. That sounds like a fake one in like Ocean's 13 or something.
But it's called the Borgata, not the Brugada.
Oh, all right.
Daryl, you said Brugada?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like either one to me, honestly.
The Brugada. Oh, wait, Brugada. I'm sorry. Was it again? Bugada?
Brugada.
Okay.
Brugada.
Oh, I'm going to say if sounds... I feel like I'm getting yanked here. I think it's real.
Yeah, I would think real as well. Let's go real.
Yeah, we'll say real.
It is a heart disease. It's real.
Yay!
For heart disease.
Wow. I hope none of us ever get that Brugada because we won't have enough oil and fish. What does that mean? I don't know. Let's move on. I don't know what I meant by oil and fish.
More fish.
Yes, more oil and fish.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. Hey, do you love cartoons?
Yeah.
We do too.
What?
Oh, I should let you answer. Tune in to Toon Talk Weekly. You know, those puns don't work when you read them.
Yeah.
Tune in to Toon Talk Weekly, a weekly podcast diving into cartoons new and old. Join animators Jake and Brad every week as they break down an episode from a different cartoon series. No animated show is safe. Find shows and more by visiting ToonTalkWeekly.com and follow the guys on Twitter at ToonTalkWeekly. That actually sounds really fun.
Yeah, it sounds good. I love that kind of stuff. Totally. In fact, Daryl's a big fan of that. So, Daryl, if you're still listening, that's something you should check out, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just dig in here. Oh, I got a text from Wendy. Let's see what's up. Let's see here. Oh, she says yes with a smiley face.
Oh, good.
She does it properly. I don't know if you know this. There's a whole generation of 20-somethings. Late teens to early 20s that are putting all of their emoticons backwards. You notice this
so
at all?
It's parenthesis then colon for these.
So it's still a smiley face, but it's almost it's just reversed. And I can't stand it. My daughter does this. And she just cannot get it right. And it just kills me. And she's sure it's fine. She thinks that's great. She doesn't have... Oh, and she also... Guess what else she does? She prefers... You know how when the OS X switched it? And you can, of course, switch this on any OS, but OS X switched it to be the default that when you scrolled up, things would go down.
Yeah.
She likes that.
I love it.
I hate it.
Because it goes along with swiping on the iPad and on my smartphone. It's like when I brush my finger upwards on the screen, I want things to move up. I don't want it to move the opposite direction.
No. It's the default's the other way now. So if I take a mouse and I... and I scroll up right now, everything scrolls up. The way
that's
the default, that you're absolutely right, it should be. But the default, if you do a fresh install of OS X, especially on a notebook, is where the only place I really tested it, it goes the opposite way.
No, 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 no. You're wrong. You've got it the other way around.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the current default on OS X is that if you've got like a smart mouse or a mighty mouse or a magic mouse or whatever the damn thing is called, and you swipe your finger upwards on it, the text on your screen, like if you've got a browser with a long window, it should go up. And it does.
Oh, you're right. Okay, then you're wrong because that's terrible. That shouldn't happen.
I've even downloaded a piece of software on my PC so that it does the same thing so that I'm not disoriented when I go back and forth.
You are one of them. You're one of the alien people. So hold on.
No. It's so much better.
Do you invert your controls on first-person shooters when you're playing with a controller? Or even
no,
a mouse?
No, I don't. No,
okay,
I
don't. All right.
No.
Well, then you're not too far gone. There's still hope for you yet.
Yeah.
But, for the default for years was the other way. Have you always switched it to be the other scroll?
No. But when it did switch in, you know, in OS, whatever, 10.6 or whatever it was, I thought, you know, this makes more sense. And it did take some time to get used to, but I prefer it. I don't know. I mean, again, it's the same behavior that you see when you're swiping up and down on a tablet or a smartphone.
Yeah, I guess that's true, and that's probably why they put in the default, because they felt the same about that kind of change in human interface. But I cannot get used to that. I tried for a while. I can't do it.
Yeah,
maybe it's just me then. Is everyone else cool with the change?
No. A lot of people in the chat room are saying, no, Brian's wrong. You're doing the wrong thing.
All right.
A couple people. Thank you, Banyu Cab, for agreeing with me.
It's the same problem I used to have with people that use trackballs instead of mice back in the day. That was just redonkulous.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't do the trackballs. But, occasionally I do have a one of those trackpads, Apple trackpads, and that works the same way. Like, that's even more the same feeling because you're swiping up and down.
Oh, I can't do it.
And yes, Daryl, Windows does go opposite, but I downloaded something on my PC to make it flip around.
Did he just text you?
He did, yes.
He should really just be in the chat room. He should go in there.
All right, well, he's in Skype. He could chat in there.
Yeah, why not? Anyway, so here's the deal. Soy sauce, turns out.
Yes.
Next time you go get some sushi, remember this.
Okay.
There is a molecule in soy sauce that could treat HIV.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It's about time, man. Picture the soy sauce bottle at most sushi restaurant tables. Yep, the one with the red and green top. Those omnipresent bottles are the product of Yamasa Corporation. It's a soy sauce concern. I love when they call things concerns over there. Favorite thing in the world. Right. I still don't get why they're called that, but I love it.
What the hell is Kikkoman?
Kikkoman? Oh, I don't know.
The red and green top bottles I thought were Kikkoman. Well, I guess maybe Kikkoman is a product of the Yamasa Corporation.
Yeah, because these guys claim they have been manufacturing the sauce since 1645.
Wow.
That's some time ago.
I believe them. Yeah. They probably have documentation.
That is some number of years ago. But the most fascinating part of the Japan company's history is I think they should have said Japanese company's history. Not the Japan company's history. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
the America company's history. That doesn't make any sense. The Britain company's history. It should be British. Come on. Is thoroughly a recent one. Virologists have confirmed that Yamasa's scientists did indeed make a discovery involving a molecule related to flavor enhancers contained in soy sauce and HIV. Let's see. They established in 88 a division of food scientists that were tasked on carrying out research on how the immune system responds to a variety of chemicals in food. By the way, that's kind of rad that a company that started making stuff in 1645 in 1988 has a fleet of food scientists. Like, I don't know what this reminds me of. It's like a Assassin's Creed game or something, you know, where
totally, yeah,
they're ancient, but they got future stuff going on. I love it. In 2001, they announced a big find. The molecule EFDA could possibly be used in treatment for HIV. Testing's underway. Could be interesting to see. So there you go.
Interesting.
HIV also, you know, despite what you may think or believe, is highly treatable now. I don't mean you, but people generally. You know, look at Magic Johnson. He's been around forever now.
Right. And it's...
You keep it at bay.
It's when it gets worse. It's when it turns into AIDS that...
But they're keeping it from ever doing that.
Exactly.
People are living entire lifetimes without ever having, you know, being asymptomatic and just dealing with it. And I don't know if the meds are still super expensive and so therefore only the rich are benefiting. I don't know, but the point is that science, man, science. That's the point.
Hey, did you, by the way, I'm looking at the Kikkoman website. It doesn't say anything about Yamasa, so I think they're different companies, but it's interesting. They're also part of Del Monte.
Oh, no way. They're part of...
Yes.
Okay, now like, this is where the real Assassin's Creed part comes in. The all the conspiracy stuff and everything.
Right, right.
Secret societies, man.
Weird. Now, when you were younger, did you ever get those... I think it was Chunking, where you got the Chinese meal in a can. It was actually in two cans.
Yep, and it had the raw or the dry noodle things in one.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, you dumped those.
Terrible. It was awful.
They were terrible, but it's funny. I don't think they make those anymore.
I hope they don't, because they were never good. Never liked them. Those little twig things. They were bad.
They really were twigs. Yeah, they're
real bad. And then somebody gave me some real. Kind of whatever that was based on, but the real version of that. And I went, that's what this was supposed to be. And it was amazing. I remember being all ticked that I'd been led to believe the Chinese didn't know what they were doing. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't know. You eat something, you just think, that's Chinese food.
Well, and it was so easy to put together. I mean, you open two cans, you dump one in a saucepan, cook it till it's hot, maybe cook up some rice to go along with it, dump it on a plate, and then dump those little twigs on top of it, and you were done.
Yeah, it's good. Did you?
It looks like 1995. Chunking phased out.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. did you know
there's different flavors that you can get?
Did you know that?
That's good. I'm glad to know that. What do you do? Do you just gently pour?
You mean pour the rice into the thing?
Right. Do you pour it slowly?
My experience has been this.
Dump.
Oh, that's just
dump the rice. Into the thing.
And then later, you take a...
Dump.
There you go.
He's taking a dump in a can.
You're going to love this part too, by the way. Chunking was developed by Gino Pallucci. Gino Pallucci.
Huh.
And you know why that name sounds familiar? Because he's the guy who developed Gino's Pizza Rolls.
No way, dude.
Yes.
I love pizza rolls.
Yes, not a very Asian name, is it?
No.
Gino Pallucci. Here's my Chinese food.
But I do love his pizza rolls. I give him that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, though. I used to eat those way too much. I can't eat those now and I feel sick. But back in the day, you could eat like a whole box of them.
It was like the McDonald's apple pies filled with pizza toppings.
Yes, little mini. Yes, the little. That's totally what it was.
Exactly. Yeah.
What were the McDonald's ones called?
Apple pies.
Just apple pies?
Just apple pies.
It was called something else.
No, but they were a lot like the Hostess fruit pies.
They were similar to that. But they had I thought they had a name, like a Mc... Not McPie. It was like a fruit... They had a name. Chat room, help me out.
Okay, all right. I thought they were just called apple pies.
I thought they had a name, but I could be... You might be right. Three men allegedly rob a gas station and then stuck around to pump some gas.
Nice.
Yeah, check it out here. We got the Pennsylvania news. After three men allegedly held up a Hess gas station in that area of the world, they stuck around for several hours to pump gas and sold the petrol, to customers at a discounted price. This is according to CBS Philadelphia.
Like, that's a discounted price.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, I mean, they still, you know, they made money.
Yeah, of course. They pocketed the money, but sure. I mean, why not? If they're going to rob, they'll rob for full price.
This guy has some balls. Listen to this. Local authorities are stunned that the suspects willingly stayed at the scene of the crime early Monday. Running theory is the men were seeking to gain additional money for the heist. You think? You think that might have been it? That's some incredible detective work you did there. In my career, that's the first time I've ever seen something like this occur, says Lieutenant John Walker. That sounds like a cop name of the Philadelphia Police Department. Obviously, they probably didn't feel like they got enough money, so they're going to sit there, take control of the business, offer gas. I see. They didn't steal the gas and then go resell it, Brian. They literally acted like they worked there.
Right, exactly. And here, I'll pump this for you. Okay, that'll be $18.95. And then, here's $20. Keep the change. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
That's amazing. I want to be one of the people who got gas. That's who I want to be. Who got gas from the ill-gotten givers.
Well, you'd think that kind of would make them easy to find, right? Because if they stuck around and pumped the gas, even if they weren't caught on video, there's a bunch of people who got gas that might recognize them.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If you are a fan of the weird stories we pull out for the show and you think, I'd sure like to have a website that did nothing but post weird news to it.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Well, I have an idea for you, folks.
Your Chun King fan site you could even do.
Oh my gosh, imagine. Just imagine. Imagine. Hold on.
Imagine.
Imagine. Yeah.
Imagine.
There we go.
That's the one.
Imagine a world where you start a website and it's all about Chun King fandom, and you decide to launch it right along.
Chun King fan fiction. Perfect.
The twigs were awful that day. Every story starts that way.
Perfect.
You're going to have it right up next to your peeps, your site dedicated to peeps, and your other site dedicated to the McRib that only comes out every 6 months. Well, it's a perfect place to do it. I'll tell you. Squarespace. At squarespace.com. If you want to sell stuff, they got you covered there. Great tools for that. You want to be able to just go there and make an amazing looking site that, if you know, people didn't know any better, they'd say that guy's a freaking programming genius. But all you had to do was click here, click there, change a few things around, pick a template you like, boom, up and going. It's got domain services, everything you need. Go to squarespace.com right now. Try the trial. You don't have to take our word for it. Just give it a shot. If you like what you see, then stick around and save some money. Use the code MORNING at checkout. That'll give you a 10% off your account. That's squarespace.com and the code MORNING. Go check them out. Use them. You'll be happy you did.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where today you're going to hear at least a cover story for Billy Joel, who's going to be turning 65 this week. I'm trying to think of what to put with it. I'd like to do a set of maybe other piano men. Mm. So covers by other guys who are proficient on the piano, like Keane, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles.
Oh,
sure. Maybe Liberace. Okay. Sure, why not?
Great.
But
who did that? Yeah, you stick me in and you rattle my brain.
That'd be Jerry Lee Lewis.
Should do him. Talk about underage dating and things.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Although not a lot of people cover. I mean, basically, not a lot of people cover that song.
Those songs feel like a cover anyway.
They do. They really do, yeah.
No, they're not. That's great. Do you have any good Randy Travis covers? Because I kind of into him
probably.
Right now.
Yeah, okay. Probably. I don't. I'd have to look and see.
I kind of have a problem. I don't know what's going on.
Well, the first step is admitting it.
I don't know what's going on. I think because his album that came out in 87 has a lot of his bigger hits on it. It doesn't sound like an album made in 87. It sounds like something just made a week ago. That's kind of weirdly impressive
really?
To me. I don't know why that is or why I'm discovering it in that way right now. It's really weird, but I'm into it. So listen to Randy Travis all day yesterday to kind of chill out in the hospital.
Wow.
My wife thinks I'm losing it. All right. It's Randy Travis, everybody. Give the man a hand. He actually needs kind of a hand. He's in trouble right now, but whatever. He has to sell it.
Oh, really?
Well, remember he had that drunken altercation with cops, and he has to sell his giant $14 million ranch because he's kind of in financial trouble. He's just kind of a mess. But you know what? The truth is, don't we want our country singers with the hard raised country background to have their issues? You know,
it gives them content. It gives them believability. It gives them cred. Right.
It's kind of like
country cred.
Yeah. It's like why do you take Eminem seriously as a rapper? Because the guy has got some serious cultural tie to his story and his life.
He lived at 8 Mile, man. He lived in Detroit and had those rap battles with his mother's spaghetti on his shirt already. And
right. And that girl that played what's her name on King of the Hill. Right. All that.
Yes.
Also, I mean, why Vanilla Ice can't be taken seriously, but why, you know, you take NWA seriously or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
It's because they've got this connection to the culture behind the music. And I feel like he's that in country. Mm-hmm. He's got this kind of rough upbringing. The stories are a little rough. You know, relationships haven't worked out.
Johnny Cash,
another great example. Exactly.
Great example. Yeah.
I love that kind of crap. Okay. And I don't like country, really. That's a funny thing. I don't like the Brooks and Dunn style. I'm honky tonk this and I'm sucking the cheese or whatever. I'm not into that.
$20 to somebody who actually creates a song called song called Sucking the Cheese.
Yeah, Sucking the Honky Tonk This and Sucking the Cheese coming out this fall. All right.
It's got to be good.
Okay. Where are we here? We're into the poop of the celebrities now. Let's do it. Yes. Will Ferrell developing a new Flintstones movie, so you got that to look forward to.
Because the world has been demanding it.
Yeah, they want a feature-length animated film. They want to go like full 3D animated, not live action again.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. Chris Henschley, the guy that wrote the campaign for those guys, wrote the script. Him and his partners, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, will be executive producers. The movie will have little to do with the 94 action film starring, or live action film starring John Goodman and Elizabeth Perkins, Rick Moranis and Rosie O'Donnell. Remember that whole mess? Woo!
I totally remember that. And then the follow-up, which I don't think had any of them.
No, it didn't, but it had a bald one. Was it Steven?
Probably. Yes, it did. As Barney Rubble. Yeah. That's exactly right.
It's terrible. Flintstones premiered in 1960 and ran for 6 seasons before getting into syndication for decades. Had a short-lived reboot attempts. I guess that happened a few times, including one by Seth MacFarlane, who abandoned the project after being disappointed by the script and the pilot. I remember hearing about that, but never saw any results.
That would have been great. I would have loved to see like a Seth MacFarlane Flintstones.
Yeah,
Barney, that reminds me of the time that I was stuck under a rock in a quarry.
It would flash back.
Yes, exactly.
And the Dino would be in love with the mom. Yeah, all that stuff.
Right.
That's great. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is under scrutiny. Again. People don't like it, dude. We were weird. I liked it quite a bit.
I liked it, too. Yeah.
Thought it was fine. Was it Captain America 2?
Made me cry. Maybe I knew it was going to... Well, I'm just going to say it made me cry.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes is not real happy. 55% overall.
Wow.
That's lower than I would expect. I don't think it was nearly as bad as some people are making it out to be, but it's in the news again because they turned a female scientist into a male Nazi. So here's... I'll explain.
Okay.
If you're seeing Amazing Spider-Man 2, you might know the movie has a few issues. We just discovered a new one, and it's possibly the most infuriating nonsense yet, says an IO9 article. It's very, very much the writer's opinion here.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the cliched German mad scientist named Kafka who tortures Electro? Remember that guy?
I do, yes.
This horrible accent.
Mm-hmm.
I had people on Twitter going, I just came back to Spider-Man 2. Sounds like Scott Johnson's impression of a German guy.
Yeah.
Hello, we are going to run the tests on you. It's like that. It was terrible. Well, that actually is supposed to be a heroic female scientist, a character based on a real person. According to the excellent interview by her with her by Vanity Fair, Kreta Kafka is a certified therapeutic hypnotist who counseled Spider-Man writer J.M. DeMatteis, and whom he paid homage to by naming a scientist character after her in the spectacular Spider-Man in 1991. She helped Spidey on more than a few occasions and recently died in the comics. She was definitely one of the good guys. The movie script took that character, twisted it into not only a dude, but made him terrible.
Oh, no.
I know.
What an awful homage to this real-life woman.
People are pissed.
Oh, brother.
I know. It's a little bunch of do about nothing.
I think they should be pissed because it was like such an over-the-top accent.
Yeah, that's what made me mad.
But who cares? I mean, it's, you know, these comic book movies, you know, I can get behind the whole real web shooters versus organic web shooters and the crummy costume design for the first Amazing Spider-Man that they fixed for this one. But
Much better this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. It just seems
I know it's nitpicky. It's weird. It's almost like there's a collective out there that just refuses to want to let any of these Marvel properties outside of Marvel's control do well.
Right.
Like they just don't want it to happen.
Right.
And they wish it all ill. And I don't know why that is. It's not going to hurry it back into the hands of Marvel Studios. So you're kind of wasting your breath. Enjoy the fact that you've got a multitude of these things to choose from. Some of it's better than others, but honestly, do you want a world where we don't get any Spider-Man? I don't.
No.
And Andrew Garfield's a great Peter Parker. Way better than what's
totally
his name.
He's totally fine. Yeah, Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, I'd take him over Maguire any day. So, for me, that's where the movie won for me, was the character seemed right. Mm-hmm. That's Peter Parker. A little awkward, a little goofy, a little charming. You know, a little twisted. All the things he's ever been in the comics, they get that stuff right. Yeah. And beyond that, sure, you can complain, nitpick, and this Kafka guy or whatever. I mean, all these things can be torn apart and reassembled or whatever. But and I have issues with the movie. I don't think it's perfect by any means.
No.
But it was, you know, it was all right. I got the funniest thing ever. A dude on Twitter goes, what'd he say? He said something like, oh, not used to people not liking the movie you liked, eh? Is this how you felt about Atlantic Rim? And I went, I think you mean Pacific Rim. there's an Atlantic Rim, but it ain't that. That's not the movie. But anyway, because I didn't like it. I didn't like Pacific Rim very much.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was, you know, it fit the formula.
Yeah, that's bored. Basically, I was just bored. I didn't find it exciting. I don't know.
One quick thing about this, and it's not a spoiler for me to say this, but they introduce a character. You know, there's a moment where they introduce a character in the movie named Felicia in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Do you think that is a potential future?
Which character?
Future Felicia Hardy character?
Oh, I didn't think of that. Probably. Yeah, you know what? They made such a big deal out of pointing her out. It has to be.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, dude. I think you're right. It's good detective work there.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a detective. I mean, because in the audience, as soon as they said her name, there were half a dozen people who go, oh. You kind of hear this little.
People gasped in our audience when that thing happened.
Yeah.
The part that made you cry. People gasped.
They went, yes.
All around me, including my daughter. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. So people are all up in arms about that. So we'll move on and get to a break here. Before we do, tweakedaudio.com, I'd like you to listen to them in their ear holes. No, you and your ear holes with their earbuds in them, listening to Randy Travis. Okay? It's good. Digging up bones. Put that in your head. Listen to him talk about old times and country living with incredible style and color and engineering and noise reduction. Compatible with all your devices. Lifetime warranty on all. That's 33% off with the code STREAM over there at thetweakedaudio.com. That's tweakedaudio.com and the code STREAM for a third off the price. Brian, let's take a break. What do you got for me today?
Well, I've got a cover for you today, and I forgot to pull up the email to have it ready here. All right, so we're doing this one first. Dear Scarecrow and Bane, on May 8th, I'll be hitting another year. While I can still hear, I would like to handle a lot of requests at once by asking for Scatterbrains, Down with the Ship, Slight Return. Since Scott had to cancel on the 8th last year, I've scheduled it for a Thursday this year to up the odds of my request getting in. Really, by the way, Dan, Scott can cancel any show at any time.
Yeah, there's no...
And there's no more likely show than another to get canceled.
Yeah,
so.
You have not gamed the system. There is no trick. It is whenever it happens. So anyway, you got lucky today. Good job.
You certainly did. Many thanks for all you do. And show, do, row, love, though. Sabalon in the pool, aka Dan. Maybe he's thinking that because we do two shows on Thursday, there's a higher chance.
Oh,
that I don't know.
That might be it, and he's right to think that. I guess.
Yeah,
there is some statistical advantage going on.
There slightly, yes. So he mentioned that he wants to handle a lot of requests at once by asking for this song, this "Down with the Ship" by Scatterbrain. Why is that multiple requests? Well, you'll hear it when you you'll understand when you hear the song. Scatterbrain. I don't know, but around in the 90s and kind of that Faith No More, Red Hot Chili Peppers kind of time. And the only other thing that I've got by them is a cover that they did for the Encino Man soundtrack. So if you want to kind of put that in the context that it is, that pretty much gives you an idea where these guys are at.
Yeah.
This Down with the Ship isn't a single cover per se. So listen for all the other little covers you'll find within it. And the video for it is actually pretty good. They cover a lot of different 80s and actually 70s and 80s rock acts in their appearance. So that's kind of cool to check out as well. From the album Here Comes Trouble from 1990, here is Scatterbrain and Down with the Ship.
All right, let's play it now. When we come back, I have a tweet that will make you laugh, and Wendy will be here. We're going to talk about bronies today.
Can't
wait. What it means to be a part of that. So here it is. Down with the Ship. We'll be back in a minute.
Sailing on a big ship. Down.
Now for Elsie Makes a Change. One day, Elsie was rearranging the furniture, and Elmer says,
"Oh, why do we have to change things?"
And Elsie answers, "Because sometimes a change is good for you, like the one I have in the kitchen."
"A change in the kitchen?" Elmer asks.
"Yes, a delicious change. We're having Borden's Dutch chocolate, made with real Dutch cocoa."
"Oh, yum, yum," say Beauregard and Beulah
and Elmer. And no wonder. Borden's is the good Dutch chocolate with that special Dutch cocoa flavor. Gives you plenty of energy, too. You'll love it cold right from the carton, or it's so easy to heat and drink piping hot for breakfast, lunch, dinner, anytime. That good Borden's Dutch chocolate made with real Dutch cocoa.
Hey, Molly, sure to buy Borden. Buy Borden.
One thing that can stop him.
What's that?
Death.
I'm not angry. I'm passionate. Duh.
All right, then. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Very nice. Boy, that song was weird.
It was. Really weird. You can't really dance to it.
No, not so much. My experience has been can't dance to it hardly at all.
Impressive that you can fit that many songs all into one.
And immediately recognize them.
Exactly.
The second you hear just a tiny little riff, that reminded me of a trivia quiz, like where they say, "All right, identify this song, like name that tune."
Yeah,
I would have nailed it today.
Totally. Yeah,
gotten every one of those right. Got a tweet yesterday. Yeah, I just wanted to share it with you. It came from somebody we'll call Brad.
Okay, Brad. Check out the big brain on Brad.
Brad may not be serious, I don't know, but I just want to address it.
Okay.
Listening to TMS, he says, and this is talking about Wednesday's show, he says, "You said people with their dongs hanging out isn't art." Remember the artist guy with the...
Yes. He likes to rock out with a rooster.
With a rooster on his wiener. He says, "You said people with dongs hanging out isn't art. Funny, you like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, though." Now...
Yes, and that's the reason you like them is because they walk around with socks, right?
Exactly. It's not the thing they do. They make music. Once in a while, they do some dumb stunt like that. I've never once said, "Man, I sure like the Red Hot Chili Peppers." And Brian would say, "Why?" "Because they have their wieners out. I like them because they're music, man."
Yes, right.
It's groovy. Californication. All right, that's all I'm going to do about that. Anyway, Brad, thanks for the feedback. Appreciate it. All right, we're moving on to Wendy now.
Yay!
Yeah, be a good time.
Legitimacy for a little bit.
Yep. Serious stuff.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Today will be interesting because...
It could go either way, right?
I don't know where she lands on this, but I'm interested to talk about, you know, why this phenomenon is what it is and continues to be kind of just... Mm-hmm. Different than almost any other kind of fandom I can think of.
Sure.
Off the top of my head. Because there's fans for everything. I mean, what is Nerdtacular if not...
Right, if not a bronies big fan for frognets. They're fronies is what
fronies,
they are.
Fronies, right.
Frognies.
Frognies. That's not bad. Let's see if her phone rings through. It should. Okay. She's there. It's green. Green means go. Windows goes opposite. I'm doing it now. Oh, that's Daryl. Yeah, he missed the part where you explained that, didn't he? Where you said you got something for your... I cannot believe you do your scroll the other way.
I totally do, yeah.
Hello?
I can't believe it. Oh, hi. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
I heard Peter.
Oh, my gosh.
He's
a psycho.
He's on fire today, that kid.
He's got in his head that he wants me in the bathroom, and so he can lock me in, and he's trying to use crayons to like lock the door from the outside. He thinks this is really funny.
Really?
Oh, so he's on the outside trying to jam crayons in the lock?
Yeah. So I'm just sort of like in there like humoring him to just keep him happy for a minute, and then I'm like, okay, the call's gonna start, I gotta go, and he's just throwing a fit because I get off of the phone.
Oh, well, tell him it's Uncle Scott and I'm sure it'll all be fine then. I'm sure he'll understand.
He doesn't care. He's a psycho.
He really doesn't care. Well, it's good to have you back, and it's Wendy, everybody. Real therapy, real person who does this for a living but somehow stoops to our crazy level and spends a little time with us. I was going to check real quick on our Indiegogo before we get going.
Oh, yeah.
Seems to be going well. I think we may actually have hit it this morning. There was so much chaos yesterday.
Wow. Are we all doing okay?
Everyone's fine. Kim and Nick should be home oh, a couple, maybe an hour, something like that. We hope, so anyway.
It didn't explode or anything.
Didn't explode, didn't perforate, didn't leak. So all those perfect conditions were in place. Like, mine popped when they opened me. And Kim's was perforated when they opened her. This is the funny thing. I don't know if I've ever said this, but both Kim and I were in the hospital the same week in 1987, having our appendices removed.
Really?
She was 14. I was 16. But it was the same week. Isn't that crazy? Anyway. It went really well. He's just in a lot of pain, obviously, because, you know, they go through your belly button with a hose and it hurts. Oh. But other than that, he's doing good. And they got him all drugged up, and Kim's going to bring him home soon. So it's all good in the end. Yeah.
The belly button. Those were the days when it used to be just a slash across your whole midsection.
I know. Yeah. I mean, when you had your thing, you got a big old scar to show that thing off, right?
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into it today. We've got, by the way, things are going well on the Indiegogo. By the way, if you want to support this thing, tiny.cc/therapy show is the place. We're doing a dedicated 12-episode series and potentially beyond, depending on how things go with the total amount after the end of the month. Dedicated to all kinds of issues dealing with the way the brain works, behavioral stuff, parenting, all kinds of cool stuff. Way more advanced than you get on Thursdays. We keep doing the Thursday thing. Don't worry, people. That doesn't go away. Unless Wendy goes to Sweden or whatever. Maybe. And even then, we'll probably figure that out. But
what time is it in Sweden if it's 9 a.m. here?
I want to say that's about 5 or 6 p.m. there. Maybe 7. So we could probably still work it.
It's 7 or 8 ahead.
Yeah, so if it's 7 hours ahead, it's
nighttime for you or something.
Yeah, it's like evening. So,
I can see that. Right. Totally. Like, if it's 3 a.m., it's not happening.
No. But it could happen at like 6:30 or 7 or something.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that. But anyway, go check it out, tiny.cc/therapy show. All right, Wendy, let's get to the topic at hand today.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. I think it's kind of in nerd circles, kind of a sensitive subject, but I'm really curious about its implications for what it means for why humans are so tribal and why we kind of seek to be in groups of people who, like-minded or into the same sort of stuff. And it begins with an email. This comes to us from a listener named, we'll just call him L. I don't know if he wanted me to use his name or not. It says, "Dear Brian Scott and Wendy, sorry, nothing pithy to say at the top. Love the show. You guys mentioned bronies the other day, and I immediately perked up. My 10-year-old son is really into it, mostly because the girl he likes is also into it. First, let me assure you I'm not a homophobe or a wackadoodle. I love my son
and my Knickerbocker.
I love it. I mean, homophobe. But yeah,
rouser.
It's a term of the day, you know.
Rabble rouser.
But rabble rouser, troublemaker, like all these. It's like the 20s for this guy.
Right.
Anyway, he's not a wackadoodle. I love my son and my wife and have a good and honest relationship with them both. I was bothered by his MLP fandom a little bit. That's My Little Pony is the reference there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But attributed it to gender bias and figured he'd grow out of it. But in talking to other parents, it sounds like there's some sexualization and they've indicated worse. I have kept a close eye on his internet stuff. But when I see grown men talking about feminized horses on YouTube feeds, my creepy creeper alarm goes off. Here's my question. Is the MLP crazy over-the-top fandom like any of 1 to 200,000 other things? Meaning, is it just like those? Or is there something here that I need to be concerned about as a parent? Warm regards, Larry." Oh, his name's Larry. I just gave
Larry
it away.
Larry or L.
No last name. So just to give a little bit of context for this, and I am no expert, so people are going to hear me try to give a synopsis of this, and they're going to find something wrong with it, and that's cool. Go ahead and email me and tell me that I got it wrong. But the way I understand it is when you and I were growing up in the 80s, there was My Little Pony. Okay, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was also that other pony show, My Pretty Pony.
Oh, that was a separate thing?
I think it was a separate thing.
Wow.
Now, again, I may be getting some of this wrong, but I think
that's
right.
I don't either.
And you collected horses for a while, right? Wasn't that you?
Yeah, I mean,
you were into
as much as anybody did.
Yeah, it was a big deal for her. She had a lot of these plastic horses in the house.
Yeah, it was not a big deal. I had maybe two.
I think you had like 12. It was like 12 of them. Really?
I don't know who you're thinking of.
All right.
Mommy.
Maybe it was Misha. Somebody had a bunch of horses. Anyway, so horses, always a big deal, right? Ponies, whatever. That show was a thing, or that cartoon, or whatever it was, whatever incarnation it had when we were younger, that was a thing, and it kind of came and went. It was like, to me, it was in the vein of like Strawberry Shortcake or Care Bears or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. For my daughters, it was like The Littlest Pet Shop or Playhouse or whatever that thing was called. So there's these things aimed at kids generally. jump to current day, in the last few years, there is a recreation, not recreation, a reboot, if you will, or a rethinking of what My Little Pony is, and it's released on the Cartoon Network, and it is definitely not the My Little Pony of yore. It is, I don't want to use the word edgier, but it's done, it's animated by and directed by this lady.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, very tongue-in-cheek, very referential.
Yeah, a lot of cultural references.
Yes.
Powerpuff Girls, she was kind of the head on that.
She was, and her husband's famous for other stuff as well, and they're big-time animators there at Cartoon Network. So, yes, all of that is true, and it took off, just exploded with popularity. But surprisingly, in areas you wouldn't necessarily tie to that particular thing. Now, my feeling is the reason people like it is the same reason somebody might perk up and like Futurama or The Simpsons or
totally.
Or something else, because this is actually speaking to you. It's not speaking to four-year-olds.
Like, who are not getting any of those references.
Right. They don't get it. They just see funny ponies and pretty colors.
Right.
But you're getting all these cultural references. You're getting the in-jokes and whatever that is. And then what started cropping up is people that found they really are into it. They start conventions. They start get-togethers. There's hundreds all over the country every year. And there's big-name actors who attend and show up, like Star Trek's Q, John DeLance. He's way into it. Mm. He speaks at these things. And having shaken that guy's hand, he could use a little softening up because it is a crusty old hand. But anyway,
Gross. It
is. I've talked about it on the show. You've never heard this, but he's got the crustiest hand. We call it his crusty space hand, but it's just this disgusting hand. I felt like I was holding, I don't know, like a rock person or something, someone's hand. Anyway, so there's the background of what, again, of little that I know about it. I haven't really seen much of the show, so I'm no way to speak to it. But I can tell you there's a bunch of like Frog Pants people who, many who come to Nerdtacular that all wear their brony shirts and are super stoked about it and are big fans of the show and like buy the merchandise and, you know, talk about it and go do podcasts about it and all this kind of stuff. All right. So there's all these things going on. Then I also know there's like these little corners of it, like anything else, I would like to remind people, where it's become, you know, where there is sexualization of something or whatever. You can find that for anything on the internet. So all of that precursor stuff laid down and what you know about it, Wendy, how do you address A, Larry's concerns, and then B, I'm just kind of interested in the larger picture of why this crops up around things like this and then why all the gendered challenging sort of fan stuff that comes out of that. And then the immediate reaction of people is to be kind of freaked out by it. And then their reaction is to defend it vigorously. And then, you know, we're kind of in this loop of nobody understands each other.
Right. Well, I'm going to do it backwards. I'll address Larry's specific stuff at the end with his kid. But
right.
So let me make this clear. My research on this topic was all positive. I didn't go into the wormhole of the haters, and I didn't, I basically read a couple websites that were like, let me explain this to you, you know, and the positive spin. So I was like, I want to understand, you know, someone who is in this camp, how they think about it. And right. They were actually very articulate explanations that made total sense. So, and the first thought that popped in my head as I'm reading this is like, oh, it's like Toy Story in the sense of I go see Toy Story and I'm thinking, this isn't for my kids. This is for me, right? And my kids love it too. And there is this amazing sort of blend someone is able to do, which is to entertain all audiences at the same time.
Right. It's Pixar's pretty. They're if they are anything, they are that.
Yeah.
Like that's their main core thing.
It's pretty impressive, right? Sure. And so it sounds like this, you know, this animator really also, because I've seen Powerpuff Girls. I love Powerpuff Girls. Like. Hilarious and strong and like really, you know, it's great and it's fun to watch. So there's definitely just something up, and I haven't obviously seen a new My Little Pony episode. So in my head, when I first heard about bronies, I'm remembering the old show and going, what?
Yeah.
Why would you watch that? That wasn't even good then, you know?
even little girls it was aimed at didn't really like that show very much.
Exactly. No. And the ponies smelled good. I remember that. They had like scented plastic.
Yeah, they were like the strawberry shortcake dolls. They all smelled nice, yeah.
So anyway, I'm being a regular Joe here, is my first thought is, well, that's got to be creepy if dudes are watching a show about ponies that are for little girls, because that's my only memory of this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you said, oh, there's a bunch of guys who are really into variations of anime, kinds of animation and, you know, different storylines. And it could be, you know, whatever. I wouldn't think the same thing. And it's because I don't have context for the new My Little Pony, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think it's simply that. And then you have on top the tribal thing, which is very much, you know, colluding around something you all enjoy. I mean, Frog Pants Network is a similar thing in some regards, right?
Sure.
It happens again and again. People find like-minded, whatever, that they feel comfortable. But here's this other element. So if there are bronies listening, they're going to be like, wow, Wendy's a brony fan. What do you call a fan of a brony?
Brony-friendly. You're brony-friendly.
Brony-friendly. there are also really like lovely, sweet messages in My Little Pony, like love and friendship and kindness and like stuff that's kind of not, you know, a regular theme in your average cartoon, I would assume.
Right. Know? At the same time, almost simultaneously, my impression is you have the subversiveness of it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the messaging is still this strong, empowered, like positive message, right?
Yeah.
I think that something about that combination seems kind of potent for some, I guess.
Right. And really potent, which I think is what makes this tribe as powerful as it is, we'll use that term, right, is because they sort of let the hate roll off. whatever, you can think what you want, but we like our rainbows and we're happy or whatever. Like, that's the sense I get. Like, they're sort of like, you can hate it, but, you know, we have magical fans of fun and love each other. I don't know. Like, right. it seems very happy, right? So you take any other, I mean, I just read a couple message boards, and actually what part of the history is that it was in 4chan that they really got the conversation started, right? And the idea that they survived 4chan when the trolls came out, I mean, that says something about what the messaging is. Yeah. So, I mean, you leave, I'm hounding on Toy Story a little bit, but you leave Toy Story like feeling like a better person, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do.
Yeah, sure.
I don't leave every cartoon feeling that way, or, you know, animated feature, unless they've figured out some formula of like entertaining me, sort of connecting to my child's part, and then also like there's something good at the end, some kind of good overall message. And I just think that's probably what My Little Pony is doing.
Yeah.
At the same time, being very good artwork and very well done, and, you know, the quality's high and the references are funny, and what happens with references too is you feel like you're part of something, mm-hmm, right? When you get the inside joke, and apparently the animators have, you know, done a bunch of shout outs to bronies in the show, and you people love that, right? You love to have your stuff sort of, you know, the Easter egg, right? It's hidden, or even if it's obvious, you just feel super connected. So I think it's, yeah, totally. So I think that is what's created all this. And then, like you said, there is always a corner of everything that is dirty. It's the shadow of everything. We always have one. There's always something. And people are going, I read one comment that made me laugh. Like, you love video games, but you don't want to have sex with them, do you?
That's what somebody said.
Yeah. In response to assuming bronies, it was all about having sex with ponies.
Right.
Or with little kids. Or
people
whatever,
dressed
right?
as ponies or whatever. Right.
Right. There will always be that, sure, but it's not going to be the majority of people in any sort of larger tribe that's this successful. That's just the truth.
Sure, because because you could technically refer to, I don't know, lawyers as a tribe. The profession of lawyers. There's always going to be a percentage of those who are, I don't know, having sex with goats on the weekend or whatever.
Yeah, totally, right?
Like, no offense to lawyers, but you know, you've got yours too. Is the point.
Well, there's also this thing that this is very old. This is not new. Bronies is just another example of haters outside of a tribe, right?
Yeah.
I think we're in an age of criticism, so everyone has a microphone and everyone gets to say what they want to say and complain and, you know, whatever. So it seems like, oh, wow, people are so critical. But I think I lived in England, and I don't know if I could even count how many jokes were said about people in Wales or Scotland who slept with sheep. Like, yeah, that was constant.
Wow. I thought that was, I've heard that over here, but I always thought that was just the lowest of possible joke totem poles. Like, you couldn't go any cheaper than that. And that's an actual thing they do over there. I figured that was Americans just being dumb over here.
Well, part of it, too, again, it's tribal. So you have, we're all part of the United Kingdom, but there's a lot of history with those folks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they sort of, even Southern English are different than the Northern English, and they rip on each other. And like, it's just kind of human nature to sort of get in your tribe. And then we have to, you know, oh, we're all English. Okay, well, then the Southern ones, or I'm in the city or the country or whatever. And then I just think the animal joke probably comes from people having sex with sheep throughout history.
Yeah.
And then it's a way to just denigrate
somebody. It only really takes one, you know, like,
I know. You see that once, you never get out of your head.
Right. Now all of Wales is doing it. but so let me ask this, how much of this is just straight up gender bias? Because if I came to you, or if I came to somebody who didn't have any real knowledge of this stuff, other than the surface stuff, one is pink ponies and the other one is, I don't know, let me think of another one on that channel. Like, let's say I'm really into Ben 10, which is this other cartoon that everyone loves, kids really are into. If I said, oh man, I am way into that Ben 10 show, nobody would blink an eye, because that show is about boys and superheroes and aliens. And it seems like, that's appropriate. You know, even if you're a 44-year-old man, that's cool. Mm-hmm. If I came up and said, I'm way into My Little Pony. That seems, I guarantee that 9 out of 10 people hearing me are going to go, what? Really? That's for girls. Yeah. Is it purely just a gender thing? Because they don't, I mean, obviously they haven't seen it, so they don't get all the subversive humor or any of the kind of sort of cross age stuff that's going on, or even cross gender stuff that's going on. So is this all this boils down to, is people just discriminating based on what they perceive as what's appropriate for each gender? I mean, that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah,
and age too. I mean, if you were to say, I'm really into Teletubbies, that's not really a gender specific
right
show.
Right. Right.
But it's only the worst show ever made.
Yeah, I don't hear about too many clubs that still celebrate Teletubbies.
Teletonies or whatever.
But I mean, I Wendy and I, this isn't untrue. And this is back when Sesame Street was awesome. But Wendy and I would watch Sesame Street on the regular in our teens.
Yeah.
All the time, and make references to it and talk about it at dinner and stuff, because Sesame Street was also this thing. It knew how to cross what was interesting for a kid and learning for a kid or whatever. But then we knew how funny it was that there were two sock puppets arguing about who's going to answer the phone. Like that, that's funny because we get it on a different level as a teenager than I would as an adult, than the little kid watching it when he's 4. And that's what made that so great. But no one ever gives me heat for loving Sesame Street, ever.
Right.
Because it's gender neutral, right?
The gender bias. And there's a thing here. I mean, so women, you know, I think feminism has become the F word for a lot of folks, right? But there's a lot of work that feminists have done to create, so women sort of have a little more freedom. And I don't know if it's just because of the work of feminism or not, but to sort of like male specific things or female, like we can kind of do either, right? And it doesn't mean you're a lesbian if you like basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe at one point it might have been really suspect. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not up on my gender studies. I apologize, everyone. I just blame the white male for everything, but I don't know anything else besides that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, how I think with the gay community becoming a much more prevalent, you know, sort of regular part of society, I think there's some headway in like, hey, we're not all the same. We're not all scratching ourselves and grunting. And, you know, that, and you're only allowed to do that. And anything besides that is too feminine and suspect. I mean, I think some of this is going away, but then it comes down to sexual preference, right? Which it's not really about sexual preference.
Mm-mm.
You know, so I don't know. It just seems like women are a little more allowed to vacillate between sort of stereotypic feminine and masculine things.
Absolutely.
Where men are not allowed.
Yeah, a woman can say, Oh, I love, you know, My Little Pony or Care Bears or whatever. They could say that now, or I still buy every Elmo doll every Christmas, whatever it is that year, I get it. Okay. They could right. say that and you just go, oh, that's cool. And then they can turn around and say, yeah, plus I've got my Gandalf uniform or my Gandalf costume I'm wearing at Dragon Con this year. And man, I can't wait for the new Star Wars. These things that are somewhat gender neutral, but in theory are more male focused. Yeah. That carries over no problem. But a dude starts doing that. And then we're back to the Middle Ages, it feels like sometimes. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it's better than ever. Cause one of the gender things that has gone away, and this may or may not be a good thing, not gender things, but this expectation that men, if they are at all interested in quote unquote silly things, then there's something wrong with them. They need to be serious and do man things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're now in a world where it's cool for a guy to, like, I read all the Harry Potter books like 5 times over.
Right.
I feel like that's cool for me to do now, but I don't know if that would have been cool in 1983, you know, for a dude in his 40s to do. Right. And so some of that stuff has changed, but not so much the gender stuff.
I'm sure it has. I'm sure it has on some level. It has to have. I mean, I don't think gay marriage would be on the ballot in a million states if there was not a shift in, you know, sort of viewing, not every gay man is this effeminate, flamboyant, cross-dressing, you know, whatever. Like, I think variation in when someone's sexual preference is not, you know, the dominant, what that means, right? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. before, the only ones you ever saw or knew were so extreme. You know, and so I think some of that is changing, but you take the brony thing. I think it's startling because it seems overly feminine and it seems very young,
mm-hmm.
right? Not Teletubbies young, but young.
Sure.
And that is based on all of us, including me, who have a cultural reference to what My Little Pony is and have not seen the new show.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to today, if my homework is to watch the show, I'm going to watch one episode and I might become a bro sister. What do we call them?
Do they have a name?
A shoney?
That's where you have all you can eat bacon in the morning or something.
Yeah,
that's
right. Oh, yeah. Shoney.
It's right next to the La Quinta.
Gross. I can kind of taste that bacon just as you say that because you know it's like.
Oh, they have so much bacon and it's all bad.
Anyway, so I think I don't know. I might be a brony defender at this point because
you might
feeling bad for the and you know and there's this other part, like, who cares? Honestly, who cares?
Yeah.
So let's go to Larry's point, because his is a good one, because it really is a parenting question, like
right.
how do I manage this? So I'm looking at a 10-year-old boy who loves a really well-done cartoon that his friends are into.
Yeah.
This is a no-brainer that he's going to be into this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the gender thing, have you guys seen Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah.
Oh, a ton of it.
For sure. Yeah, I loved it.
Right. So there's no, it doesn't feel gender specific at all to me.
No.
And it's hard to believe that the same animators aren't creating that same sense with a brand new show for these kids. These kids don't have any reference to the old one.
No,
right?
No, a lot of people don't.
And they're, you know, the good messages that are in it and love and kindness and them kicking some other pony butt or whatever, they have to have violence. I get it. Whatever. So you have that thing. It's probably just fine and normal. The challenge is, as a parent, it's not the content that we're really concerned about. It's the extrapolation of the content that you have to sort of be careful with. Most kids' introduction to sort of dodgy stuff and things that are, you know, probably not good and people who are have malintent is usually through fan fiction, some kind of fan side gig, some, you know, whatever. And that is where he needs to be the most careful.
Sure.
To, you know, sort of train this kid, how do you love this thing and get excited about the comments people are making and feel a part of a community? And all of that is fine and good. But how do you protect yourself? Because there will always be nefarious people on the edges of everything. It could be mm-hmm. the most benign, stupid thing. And there'll be someone like, I will make this into porn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's being aware, not worrying so much about that it's My Little Ponies and that he's 10 and that these are his friends. And this is, It's like, if it was Powerpuffs, would we have in this conversation? No, but that's about girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just this dad remembers the show, right? And so anyway, but he does need to be very aware of the side roads that, you know, kind of lead from anything that gets a lot of fans.
Anything. It's true. Like if you, I don't recommend people do this, but if you looked up
Teletubbies,
something with this, put the word Simpsons and the word sex in a an image search on Google, you wouldn't believe the things that you will be exposed to. And the point of that is, for some people, whatever, I don't know where this stuff comes from or why people think of these things, but if you wanted to go down the ultimate long dark road of Simpsons fandom, I suppose you could take one of those alleys and be absolutely shocked as to what would be in there. So this, you know, the fact that that stuff's happening with My Little Pony is, first of all, not surprising to me. It should be obvious to everybody because it's all being done. If you want to, like, there are actresses in Hollywood, I'll give you an example, actresses in Hollywood who refuse to ever take their top off for a movie, ever. That's just their thing. They don't want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of them do, but there are some who steadfastly just refuse and they never do their entire career. That has not stopped people from faking what that would look like and putting it on the internet. And in fact, it's worse, some of the things people do, than it would ever be if they were in some indie movie where they were asked to do that, because it's almost like, because that is such an unobtainable thing in real life, now people have to go to extremes to obtain it. And why wouldn't that apply here? It seems to me to not be all that different, you know?
Right.
So stay away from that crap.
Yeah. So just, you know, knowing what he's looking at and remaining as neutral as possible about the show. Because you don't want to make it a thing. You don't want to, like, well, you will not do that. No boy of mine is going to watch a pony show. And then you're going to just drive him away from you. And maybe you ought to sit down and watch an episode with him.
Yeah.
And be like,
you're going to send him right into the arms of those ponies.
Right.
I know, right? But to me, it's, you know, not even about the ponies. It's that idea that if you can't sort of check your own biases, or you can't look at, you know, where is this coming from me? Because 900% of our interactions are based on our own biases, our own shadows, our own unresolved crap we haven't ever dealt with. And so to stop and go, okay, I'm not a homophobe. Like, all right, you're not. Right. Okay, great. That's check. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm concerned about this thing. Well, then watch it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying hasn't watched it. He didn't indicate that he has. Uh-huh. But watch it. Like, educate yourself on what this is. And, you know,
see the appeal or the potential appeal of it.
Because there's got to be something there, or your kid would not be doing this.
Yeah.
And then when you become a brony
and you're taking him to the conventions,
then he'll be like, I'm worried about dad. He's kind of into this.
He's into it more than I am.
Yeah. So what's that rule on the internet? If you can think of it, there's a website.
Always. 46, always. Or whatever the rule is.
That's the rule.
There it is.
Yeah.
So there's always that thing. But it really, the best way to care about your kid is to make sure your crap doesn't get in the way. And maybe it's, you know, you like to put your mom's high heels on and you got shamed to the ends of the earth for doing that when you were a little kid and it meant nothing. But that's someone's freaked out bias, parenting, whatever, right?
Sure.
We just don't want to keep handing this down, right? So check your own stuff. But then also, to be a good parent is not to be, you know, it's not that you have to hover and smother. It's that you just need to know and then educate the kid about, hey, you know, the world's not quite what you think it is.
Yeah.
And the My Little Pony story would tell you that everyone's nice and kind and lovely in the end. And that's not going to be true. There's always going to be somebody, you know, there's trolls. And then there's like dirty, nasty trolls, right?
Sure. Yeah. There's trolls. There's trolls. And there's trolls whose pants are off and the lights are dim. And nobody wants to go in there.
Right. So how do we just kind of navigate those waters is really kind of his best bet.
Hover and smother would be a good name for one of those note things we're doing for the
Indiegogo. Don't hover and smother.
Yeah, no, that's good. It rolls off the tongue. Make t-shirts or something.
Yeah.
Well, good. But this is all good stuff. I feel like there's, I don't know, there's so many, when things like this come up, they're kind of new phenomena. Like the brony thing is kind of feels new and like, whoa, look at the fan base for this. And But it strikes at such old problems.
Yeah.
Like it's such a new thing, but it just brings up all the old things that people have a hard time dealing with. And I always find that kind of interesting and fascinating. It's like we seem to have a little bit of progress and then it just digs up shite that we thought was gone in the 30s or something.
Right.
And I think that's all this is. So good luck. Yeah. Sounds like you have a cool kid there, Larry. And I'm sure things will be fine. Also, I think it's great that people are still called Larry. There aren't very many mm-hmm. Larrys left.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Larry.
That proves to me that he's only seen the old show.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if someone named you Larry, you've been around a while.
You've been around for the first My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're definitely resurgence. Not on to the yeah. second one yet. So I'm just watching it.
It hit me yesterday. I don't know anyone who is naming their kid or has in the last decade or more. No one's naming their kid Fred anymore at all. Do you know any Freds? Little Freddies? Nope.
Not small Freds.
Not since Freddie Highmore.
Yeah, but Freddie Highmore's like...
He's a grown-up little Norman Bates now.
Yeah, he's like 20-something. He don't count. But I'll bet you in the last decade, everybody passed on Fred. It's just not happening anymore. And no one calls women Martha or other names. Margo.
Yeah, but like Leo, Ruby... Grace, all the old school names are huge. That's all anyone's
those are coming
now.
Back. Yeah,
totally. So Larry, lots of one Emmas. Day mm-hmm. yeah. Jennifer will come back.
Oh, Jennifer making a big comeback.
We will be really old then.
I can't wait for the world
and
to be overcome.
And Wendy's with an I.
Wendy's with an I never happened and will never happen. So
it was a one-off deal. Wendy, good times. Thanks for sharing and all that. Any causes, thoughts, pimps, anything you want to give out?
Yeah, I'm starting a fund for pro bonies and bronies. I can't even say it.
Pro bronies. Is that free though? You do that for free, the pro bonies?
The pro bonies.
I do have therapy for bronies.
Yeah.
And it's called my pro brony work. Yeah, no, I got no causes. I got a lot of crap to clean up and children to take care of. So
yeah.
That's my cause.
Well, happy Mother's Day coming up. That'll be good.
Oh, yeah.
As a mother. Yeah. And I'm thinking we're seeing you on, at least some of us will see you on Saturday, I guess. We're all getting together. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what Nick's doing yet. Probably going to be in bed.
Oh, Nick.
Poor kid. He's such a sweetie. Sure. And you could see it in his face. He was terrified, but so didn't want to show it. Like so didn't want to be the 14-year-old on the kids floor at the children's hospital who's crying about going into surgery, and I could just see that conflict, and it was killing
his voice is cracking as he's crying.
Yeah. He's like, I'll be okay, Dad. I got this. I'm like, oh, buddy. Anyway, well, Wendy, have a good one. Enjoy yourself. Okay. Don't get any crayons stuck in the lock holes. All right.
Will not. Okay.
Bye now. Bye. See ya. Okay. There you go.
Some of those just sound like euphemisms. I know they're not.
I know they do. Right.
Yes.
Crayon stuck in the lock hole.
Yeah.
We have, you know what? We did save one email.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I feel good about reading it. So let's do that. It's that's brought to you by somebody.
The Diablo Show, hosted by Scott and filled with all things Diablo. That's the devil. Mm. Episode 3 happens this weekend. Check out frogpants.com/Diablo and subscribe.
Do. You'll enjoy it. Okay.
I've decided I've got to start playing some Blizzard stuff before November.
Some Blizzard video games?
Yeah.
Because you'll show up on the 8th going, I don't know what you people are doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The last time I played some of these games was at BlizzCon.
I feel like that's far away, but real close.
Yeah.
Somehow. It's weird. Should be fun, though. I'm looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Dear Scott, Brian, and Wendy. This is, I guess, for her, too. Oh, you know what? Maybe I should save this. Because I didn't know it was for Wendy now that I look at it.
Is this a like a Therapy Thursday or just feedback?
Kind of is a Therapy Thursday looking. Oh, no. You know what? It is feedback. So we'll read it. In the beginning of April, I had a Twitter mishap that ended up really hurting my wife's feelings. I'm kind of curious what that was, but he didn't say. Twitter is a very powerful tool, but only with 140 characters. Misunderstandings can easily happen. I agree. Angry at myself for posting something stupid, I stayed away from Twitter for a few days. My wife and I quickly patched things up, and I remember something that Wendy once said about giving up social media for 30 days straight. I have been a Twitter and Facebook junkie for years, and I thought this was a good opportunity to detox. For a week, I found myself instinctively picking up my phone and hitting the Twitter icon. I would catch myself, close the app, and put my phone back in my pocket. After 2 weeks, I started reading the news app in the morning and night just so I could figure out what was going on in the world again. I had not been having concentration issues at work for the last several months. What? Oh, I have been having. Sorry. Where did I get the knot from? I don't even know. I just put it in.
It was above that,
I guess so. Or I'm just dumb. For the last several months, and I was really stuck on a few projects. Since dropping social media, my concentration has improved, and I have one of my most productive months in a very long time. This week will mark 30 days without Twitter or Facebook. I did break down and check Twitter twice during that time. Once to check on a follower who lived in one of the towns hit by the recent tornadoes, and another to search for why my podcasting app suddenly stopped working. Both times, I went straight to the search screen and bypassed my timeline. I will be back to Twitter next week, but I plan on limiting my usage, reading fewer tweets, and thinking twice before posting. Overall, it was an interesting experiment, and I really think it was worth it. I highly recommend anyone taking a social media break. Love the show, though. Scott from Houston. So, Scott from Houston, I decided, I actually read this email a little earlier, and I just wanted to bring it up on the show. But I've decided to do something similar. Now, I do so much of what I do with my work stuff is tied to communicating with people, and a lot of that's done on Twitter and social media. But I do catch myself times just going, what's going on here? Scroll, too much time. So I'm going to try to do the same. It's going to be more about communication and less about just mindless browsing. And see how it goes. I couldn't cold turkey it for a month, or it would be bad for, you know, what I do, but I think that there could be a lot less of that. And I think that's awesome that you went through that and kind of experienced it for yourself. So, if anyone else has, thoughts on that, they can email us and let us know what they think. But, I know that feeling of your phone, like checking it too much.
Oh yeah.
Don't you hate that? I mean,
oh, totally do.
And especially when you're trying not to, and you catch yourself and you kind of just like, what am I? Am I just a series of blips and beeps? And I just grab this.
Well, and I made the mistake of putting TweetDeck, like giving it a corner of real estate on my computer screen. And I think I'm undoing that right now. I just quit out of it. I'm going to leave it off for several days. If there's a tweet directed at me that I need to see, I'll see it on my phone later on in the day, and I'll respond to it then.
Another recommendation I would make is if you follow people out of pressure, or you feel like you just need to, or if you don't follow them, you're going to miss something, but you really don't like what they say, unfollow them. It seems hard at first, but just take them out of your timeline, because it's not going to hurt them, and who cares? Just take them off. That's the whole point. There's an unfollow for a reason.
That's a very good point. Let me get on here. Jaden Smith. All right, there we go. Done.
I actually did that. I got rid of the ones I followed out of spite, like the dude
humor
from Justified that's such a jerk to everybody. I unfollowed him, because who needs that?
Hey, fatty.
Hey, you fat liberal. Lib. You lib fatty, or whatever. Anyway, I'm not interested in any of those people anymore, so I try not to. I don't follow Bieber. I don't follow Miley Cyrus. I don't follow any of these train wrecks.
No.
Because why? What are you doing?
What are you gaining from that?
You're not gaining anything. So I'm trying to follow more positive people, people who post interesting things that are totally up my alley about tech and about pop culture and whatever. Mm-hmm. Follow Major Spoilers. Follow Todd McFarlane.
Yes.
Follow Brian Ibbett.
Oh, you should totally follow that.
Follow, Courtney Stodden. No, wait. Back that truck up. Don't follow Courtney Stodden.
The petals of my morning have bloomed into a beautiful dewy sunshine.
I miss my grandpa husband. My boobs are too big.
All right, moving on. Let's get out of here before we do Cleo.
Yay!
She's in the chat, yeah?
Yes, yes.
All right.
And people didn't even have to remind us in the tadpole.
No, look at us. Carrie, here we go. Here we go. Carrie. Mm-hmm. She's the one. Mm-hmm. I know her. She's the one.
The router hoverer.
Yeah.
The router whisperer.
The RH. Hello, are you there?
Well, hi.
Well, hello. It's nice to see you. Hey, you should make a quilt out of Brian's shirts.
That didn't sound creepy at all.
No,
wow. Not at all.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
I prefer to use his skin. Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
It puts the lotion on its t-shirts.
That's a terrible
idea. Or else it gets the hose again.
Yes, I think you should. I think you should seriously think about that if you meant it, because I think that sounds kind of awesome, and we could auction it for like a bunch of charity money. That's what you should do.
Oh, see, that would be really cool. Yeah.
I was just totally making it up. Of course, I meant it.
Oh, see, look at you meaning things. It's Cleo, everybody, and she is here to sum up the week, the funny moments, the things that people said that were probably the most innuendo-ish is usually my experience. But either way, I always look forward to this, and Carrie's the one to bring it to us. So, Cleo, go. Hello.
Hey, first of all, glad Nick is feeling better.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, he's good. I hope he's home by the time we're done here. Be good.
Welcome to my world, sir.
Yeah.
Those are my thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know what? I thought of you, and I thought, you know what? We really can't be complaining. Like, this was... He went in there with the best possible circumstances. They got it out, no problem.
Found it quick, dealt with it.
He's eating. He's recovering.
God, though, but when it's your baby, I mean, you're just like, oh,
I know. Either way,
on fire, but fix him.
Nothing seems worse at the time. It's like you can't do anything for him. You'd swap places with him if you could. It's just that stuff sucks. But anyway, I just know that you kept us on a more rational plane. Just thinking about some of the crap you've had to deal with. Mm.
Well, I try.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Now for the absolutely ridiculous. Let's see. we're talking about the Tom Cruise upcoming film projects. I actually went to the Tadpool site on Facebook and requested Top Gun 2 working titles.
Oh.
And here's what the group came up with.
All right.
Revenge of Xenu. That's pretty good. From Skins to Shirts, thank God.
All right.
Iceman Can Only Ride in Cargo. The Search for More Money.
Iceman, I get it. He can't be the wingman. I get it. Right. All right, fine.
Because he's too fat.
Yeah, no, I know.
Zombies, The Goose is Loose. And the last two were some of my favorites. Brokeback Cockpit, which I thought was interesting.
That's pretty good.
And this time, we're just winging it.
All right.
Oh.
Nice one. I don't know what they're going to do with that terrible film idea.
God, no kidding.
Here it comes. Anyway, you're getting it.
He's going to be He's going to be the Tom Skerritt. I mean, come on.
He will. He'll be in charge, won't he? You're totally right.
Yes.
That's not good. Is Tom Skerritt still with us? They should have him in a deathbed and Tom Cruise saying, I thought I could do your job, but now I'm being challenged by the terrible terrorist thing. And he'll be in bed going, listen, Maverick, we have it all figured out already.
That's exactly it, too.
I'd like him to be the obnoxious guy from Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's all right.
The golf Biff? Grower or something. Biff. He could be the Biff of Top Gun.
All right. The Biff of Top Gun. Make it happen, Hollywood.
That's right. All right, here we go. The next one, the guy with the rooster who tied it to his junk in Paris.
Yeah.
Ironic name, channeled Horatio Caine and said, it looks like this time the worm got the bird.
All right, nice.
During Tom's tech time, when you were talking about texting your appliances to make them work or some sort of black magic that I'm unaware of, TV's Egon said, why didn't you get my mass appliance text? You're in my kitchen.
That's pretty good.
Well done.
And the winner from this week is my darling friend Taxi Cab. From earlier this morning, Scott has lost so much weight he threw out some clothes. And because he loves you, Taxi Cab said, I think Leo Laporte got Scott's fat pants.
Oh, man. Passing them down to Petaluma, baby. They're my Petaluma pants, I call them.
They shorten them by about a foot and a half.
No doubt. Well done, Cleo. Always a pleasure. And Coffee Please on Twitter. People should follow Cleo. She has funny things to say.
And please follow Coffee Please.
And Please is PLZ, Pulls. Right?
Pulls.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to ask you if you just unfollowed me.
No. No, I follow people I like. That's my new thing. If I like you, you get followed.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Unless, people out there who I'm not following, don't think I don't like you. I just, maybe I don't know
I
you
I guilted
yet.
You into following me in the first place.
That's right. So. She sent threatening letters and I acquiesced. Have a great weekend, Cleo.
Thanks. You guys, too. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Very good.
All right. I shouldn't eat this lifesaver while I'm doing a show.
No. You're having a lifesaver. Why don't you have one of those Marianne's chocolate-filled mint candies?
I can only do one of those. I honestly, it is really reminiscent of a weird time, too. I just feel like it's not nostalgia, either. It's like I kind of didn't like those Saturday afternoons at my grandma's house. They were okay, but I hear the organ that she played, and I can smell the weird carpet. Like, every time I eat one of those, I feel like I'm taken back in time. Nice. All right, we're out of here, everybody. I want to thank everybody for being here. We have a new show tonight, 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time, TMS PM. It's the second of the day. We do it every week, and we do it because you support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TMS, where we just hit the 7K mark, which means we have something special planned. We'll let you know what that is.
Yeah.
But we got some brewing. We got things brewing.
That'll be in 7.5 hours.
Oh, goodness. Is it really? Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
I got a lot to do between now and then.
Oh, don't we both?
Yeah. Oh. I need to get a TV where Nick can see one in his room. He's going to be bored in there for 3 days.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Maybe his iPad will do. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Anyway, what else? That's it. Be here for that. Frogpants.com/... Patreon.com/TMS is where you'll support us there. On the website for us, frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. And on Twitter, follow Brian at Coverville, follow me at Scott Johnson, and follow the show at Morning Stream. That's gonna do it. What was the other thing I was just gonna say? I forgot already. Never mind. I don't know what it was. What was it?
Okay. I don't know.
Shite. Mario Golf. Get it. It's good. All right.
Yeah. Oh, I got it.
We need to do a tournament. Really?
Need to do a tournament. Yeah. I'm in the, I'm still doing my first 18 hole, you know.
What are they calling it? Handicap deal. Where you got to establish your handicap.
Is that what I'm doing? Okay.
Yeah. Your first run is just to establish where you're at difficulty wise. And then.
So I should really suck this first time.
Yeah. That's all the single player stuff. But the multiplayer tournament stuff, you can do pretty much whatever. And I'll start a tournament. We can do a little frog pants thing.
I'm totally in.
Yeah, it's good. That game, I really like it.
I'm loving it. It took a while to get used to the circle ball thing,
is that how you use it? I don't use that part. I use the top line.
Use the upper one?
Yeah. Just because I'm used to that way of...
I think I'm going to switch to looking at that thing.
Golfing in my games. It's cool they give you those different ways of doing it, though.
Totally, yeah.
I like that. There's lots of ways to play. That game's great. Nintendo's still making hot shit, even though their sales suck.
On the little ones they are, yeah.
Yeah,
they're
handheld,
not so
doing
much
great.
On the consoles.
You understand? I mean, do you even realize how screwed they'd be without their handheld business right now?
They'd be done.
It's saving them. Anyway, good luck, Nintendo. We hope you do better things in the future. Let's get the hell out of here. You got some music for me?
I am. This one's going out to Eric. My 40th birthday is on May 8th. If you can play this on or near that date, it'd be awesome. For some reason, I don't know why, I've been on a huge Mighty Mighty Boss Tones kick. So if you can play a cover by them, that'd be awesome. I'd prefer Rudy Can't Fail, a cover of the Clash song. Thanks in advance, Eric. Quick and easy and boom, right to the point. Yeah, this comes from the 1999 tribute to the Clash called Burning London, which was really, really good. It's the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones and Rudy Can't Fail.
All right, we'll be back tonight, 5:30 p.m., and then back Monday with a brand new week of shows. Thank you, everybody, for your help, support, thoughts, thinks, stuff, man, pig. What else? Any advice? Let's see. Here's an advice. How about this one? Here you go.
I locked the door when you came in.
Oh, but you can't.
All right. There you go. Rudy Can't Fail. We'll see you guys later today. Be here or be square. Squeery. All right. See you later.
Rudy can't fail.
Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
That must have been the Green Hornet.